Welcome to Knowledge Book Radio with Marge Potasek. Marge was searching for the purpose of her life and the truth that would tie everything together to make sense of what was taught and what was happening on our planet, the fire that was creating all the smoke. Through many experiences, she was finally led to the knowledge book that provided all the answers. Marge is now talking about this gift to humanity on Knowledge Book Radio, so all can be united in peace, love, and harmony. This live call-in show at 1-800-930-2819 is amazing. So get ready to hear about the Knowledge Book. Here's your host, Marge Potasek.
Hello, everyone. I'm Marge Potasek, and you are listening to the Knowledge Book Radio with Marge Potasek on Transformation Talk Radio. For the next hour, as we have been for a while, we will continue our series of Omega Talks. And of course, these are given towards the end of every month. And this is part of the unification program of the Call to Friendship Association that's mentioned in the Knowledge Book. Now, in these talks, we connect science and spirituality. And this is done when world knowledge is discussed and then connected to the Omega dimension. And of course, most of you know that the 19th dimension is actually the Omega dimension, and it has been opened up to us, to humanity, to the world dimension through the Knowledge Book. And this week, our topic is Failure, Key to Success. But before we go on, just wanted to mention that our website for the Knowledge Book is www.usa.theknowledgebook.net, our Turkish World Brotherhood Union website. And please remember that the word brotherhood in Turkish encompasses both male and female. And for the simplification, we use the word brotherhood in there, encompassing both genders. Okay, so the Turkish website is www.dkb, that's David Kite Boy, -mevlana.org.tr. And my contact information, my cell phone is 973-787-7035. Again, 973-787-7035. And my email address is mmjp99marymaryjohnpeter99@gmail.com. The contact information is for, of course, any questions you may have about this show or any other previous shows or any topics you would like to have discussed or just to see what's going on. Okay. Our Call to Friendship website is www.calltofriendship.org. So please do email or text me or call me with any questions that arise from today's topic or from previous shows. And of course, any topics and questions for future shows are very, very welcome. So let's start on today's topic, which is failure, something that people mostly do not want to face and would prefer never to see. So failure, however, turns out to be the key to success. Now, if you look on the internet for famous failures, there is no such thing because, well, if you're a failure, nobody really knows about you because you failed. You haven't made history because you failed, which means nobody knows and nobody cares. However, when you do look up famous failures, the closest we get are people who were failures during life, but however succeeded after their death. And I'm only going to give three examples, however there are many, many, many of them. One of them is Franz Kafka, who was actually a writer, and he was not very confident because of the way his father was addressing him and his father estimated his writing. He thought he was a failure and his writing was not good, so he burned everything that he had written. And then he asked his friend to burn whatever he had not burned yet after his death. However, thankfully, his friend did not comply. And because Kafka's work was published after he died, he became famous posthumously. and his works are translated into many languages, and we can read and quote him today. So Franz Kafka, he thought he was a failure, wanted to burn all his writings. However, his plot, his intent was not carried through, so some writings did survive, were published, and now he is a very famous author and quoted often. Another writer is Herman Melville, who of course produced Moby Dick, and this is a work that is the basis of a play, of movies. However, during his lifetime, he was only recognized by a few people, and at the end of his life, he was actually forgotten. He was so forgotten that his obituary, was the newspaper that wrote his obituary, actually misspelled his name. He was listed as Henry Melville as opposed to Herman Melville. And if you remember Gregor Mendel, he's the father of modern genetics. And he was, of course, not taken seriously at all when he presented his theory that was the fundamental laws of inheritance. And these are the dominant and recessive genes, which, of course, now everyone knows and goes by. So he's another person who became famous after his death and not before. But when you actually look up on Google or whatever search engine you use, who are the world famous failures? There comes up a list of very famous people who succeeded despite experiencing much failure. So these people are Einstein, for example, the Wright brothers, Oprah Winfrey, Thomas Edison, Marie Curie, Bill Gates, Steve Jobs, Walt Disney, Steven Spielberg, Stephen King, Rawlings of Harry Potter fame, and the list goes on and on. In fact, it can be safely said that behind every famous or successful person, there is a trail of failures. And actually, failure becomes the key to success. So Michael Jordan, the very famous basketball player, he was actually cut from his high school basketball team. And when he was cut, he went home, locked himself in his room, and cried. And of course, we know how famous he is. Steve Jobs, when he was 30 years old, he was left devastated and depressed after being unceremoniously removed from the company that he himself had started. If you consider maybe in the music industry, the Beatles, they were rejected originally by Decca Records because they said that they didn't like their sound, and that they have no future in show business. Well, that was one prediction that did not hold true, and everyone listens to the Beatles even today. And there's a quote, "If you've never failed, you've never tried anything new." So Bill Gates, to quote, "It's fine to celebrate success, but it's more important to heed the lessons of failure." Now, he, of course, is Microsoft co-founder. Now, right now, he is one of the world's wealthiest individuals, but he didn't earn his fortune in a straight line to success. He started becoming an entrepreneur when he founded a company or co-founded a company called Trafodata. The aim of this company was to process and analyze information from traffic tapes. He and his business partner tried to sell the idea, but the product itself didn't work. So it was a complete disaster. But that did not hold Bill Gates back from going into new opportunities. And a few years later, he created his first Microsoft product and forged a new path to success. So I guess by the time he got to Microsoft, he learned that the product has to work in order for it to actually be put into the marketplace and actually have any chance of succeeding in his venture. Now, Walt Disney, the world-famous Walt Disney, who brought us characters like Mickey Mouse, Donald Duck, Goofy, Jiminy Cricket, Cinderella, Snow White and this 12 Dwarves, or the 7 Dwarves. I don't know how many there are. But anyway, Walt Disney was told that he lacked creativity. Of course, he is one of the most creative geniuses of the 20th century. However, he was fired from a newspaper because he was told he lacked creativity. But he persevered, and Disney formed his first animation company, which he called Laugh-O-Gram Films. He was able to raise $15,000 for the company, but eventually he was forced to close this company because there was a distributor that he was depending on, and that distributor closed down. At that point, Disney was desperate and out of money, but he found his way to Hollywood and faced even more criticism and failure until finally his first few classic films started to skyrocket in popularity. Now, another gentleman, of course, that we know is Henry Ford. He was an industrialist who started Ford Motor Company, and that company became one of the most profitable automotive companies in the world, and making him one of the richest and most famous individuals on the planet. However, while Ford eventually celebrated many successes, he failed often in his earlier years. He was 35 years old when he designed and built a self-propelled vehicle that he showed off to people, winning the backing of William H. Murphy, who was a lumber baron in Detroit. He founded the Detroit Automobile Company in 1899, and in 1901, that company failed when he could not pay a loan to the Dodge brothers and due to vehicle design inefficiencies. The company ceased operations, dealing a big blow to Ford. So again, this was another failure. However, Ford did not give up. He convinced one of his partners to give him another chance. And with mounting pressure, it was agreed that he would try again. But after disagreements, this venture also flopped. It wasn't until 1903, at the age of 40, after two separate failures, that Ford tried again, incorporating the Ford Motor Company. What transpired is one of the most famous stories of an individual who went from failure to grand success. And of course, he is the one who gave us the production line, the assembly line, to that each individual on that assembly line puts a particular piece into the product that's being manufactured. And in the end of the assembly line, the entire product is finished and is rolled off the assembly line. Another famous failure, or who faced much failure, is Thomas Edison. He was an inventor and entrepreneur. Now, the school sent Thomas Edison home with a note saying, quote, "Your son is addled, mentally ill. We won't let him come to school anymore." However, his mother received this note and told him that he was a genius and he needs very special schooling, so she homeschooled him. And it wasn't until his mother died that he found this note and he was able at that time to appreciate the great gift his mother had given him. In 1877, at the age of 30, Edison invented the phonograph. And this was an invention that was so magical that it made the public name him, the Wizard of Menlo Park. In 1878, a year later, Edison began working on a commercially viable incandescent light bulb that would be both long-lasting and highly efficient. Well, of course, we all know that he finally succeeded, but maybe most of us don't know how many times he had failed before actually succeeded with producing this light bulb. He went through thousands of iterations to make this dream a reality. In fact, he failed over 10,000 times trying to invent a commercially viable electric bulb. At one point, when asked by a reporter whether he felt like a failure after so many failed attempts, he said, quote, "I have not failed 10,000 times. I have not failed once. I have succeeded in proving that those 10,000 ways will not work. When I have eliminated the ways that will not work, I will find the way that will work," end quote. So Edison, of course, had a huge impact on society, holding 1,093 patents at the time of his death. His work in several fields created the basis for much of the technologies that we enjoy today and take for granted. He suffered through failure numerous times, but where others quit, he actually persisted. And he is the foundation, or his inventions are the foundation of modern technology. Another person that's a famous failure, quote unquote, is Albert Einstein. So we know him today as one of the most brilliant minds to have ever lived. However, he was considered a failure in the early part of his life. He didn't speak until he was 4 years old. In 1895, at the age of 16, he actually failed to pass the examination for entrance into the Swiss Federal Polytechnic School located in Zurich. However, he eventually did get to school. He eventually did graduate. However, after graduation, he didn't know what to do with his life, didn't know what to do with himself. And eventually, he wound up taking a job as an insurance salesman. And he went from door to door to sell insurance. Eventually, 2 years later, he took a job at the patent office as an assistant examiner. And this is the same individual who brought us the theory of relativity with groundbreaking work done in physics and mathematics and helped us to reach deeper understanding about how the universe works. And he developed several fundamental core laws governing physics. He actually won the Nobel Prize in 1921 and created the beginnings of quantum theory. To quote Albert Einstein, quote, success comes from curiosity, concentration, perseverance, and self-criticism, end quote. And here's one for the books, Oprah Winfrey. She was told that she was not right for television. Of course, we now know that Oprah Winfrey hosted one of the highest-rated TV shows in history and is the richest self-made woman and the only black female billionaire. That's B. For boy, billionaire, not millionaire, billionaire. However, she was demoted from her first television job as an anchor in Baltimore. According to CNN, Oprah's first boss told her she was too emotional and not right for television. And one other person I would like to give as an example, Dr. Seuss. He actually was born in 1904 as Theodore Seuss Giesel. He took on the name of Dr. Seuss in 1927. During his stint at Dartmouth and Lincoln College, Oxford, where he enrolled with the intention of earning his PhD in English literature. But there was a woman, Helen Palm, actually convinced him to change careers, and she encouraged him to take up a career in drawing. In 1937, 9 years later, he wrote his first manuscript entitled, And to Think I Saw It on Mulberry Street. That initial manuscript was famously rejected 28 times prior to being accepted by Random House Vanguard Press. And by the time of Giesel's death in 1991, he had sold over 600 million copies of his books, having been translated into 20 different languages. Of course, Dr. Seuss was the one who wrote Green Eggs and Ham, Yertle the Turtle, How the Grinch Stole Christmas, all kinds of books that children to this day and previously have fun in reading and learn how to read and read from his books. Another famous quote about failure comes from Winston Churchill. Quote, success is stumbling from failure to failure with no loss of enthusiasm, end of quote. And here's an example of a product that was considered a failure, and actually was a failure, because the inventor who produced this product actually was going for a completely different kind of glue. And most of us really don't know that Post-it notes were amazingly close to the same fate as 96% of other innovations, a complete failure. In 1968, 3M's Spencer Silver was working on developing an ultra-strong adhesive for use in aircraft construction. Instead, due to a mistake, this glue turned out to be a new adhesive that was weak but pressure-sensitive, with the unique characteristics of both being incredibly strong and breakage-resistant. So what happened was he actually produced, by mistake, a substance that could be peeled away without leaving any residue and therefore could be reused. So this is a glue that was failed for its original intent. However, it produced something that is now used in Post-it notes, and we do enjoy just picking up this Post-it and sticking it everywhere that we need, and it always sticks. So he... Art Fry was working at 3M and was aware of Silva's reusable adhesive. He also sang in a church choir and had a regular problem of losing his hymn notes in his church songbook. So what Fry suggested is that this adhesive be used on the backs of paper so that they could be stuck and removed without leaving a residue. Now, nobody believed in this product for decades, and many people struggled to find a profitable application for the technology. After 5 years, in 1973, new management allowed Silva to give it a go. The first idea of a reusable bulletin board failed. So I guess this would be something where the board itself would be painted with this glue and paper would be attached to it and taken off, but however, that did not work. And Fry actually suggested it should be the adhesive on the back of the paper itself. And again, it took several more years in development to produce this. However, senior management still didn't see the commercial viability of the product and shelved it for several more years. In 1977, the product was finally tested for real-world sales. And for the first time, with a limited launch in 4 cities to see if anyone would buy it, but disappointingly, almost nobody bought it. But they didn't give up. In 1978, 3M tried one more time by sending out large numbers of free samples to companies for them to try, and then tracked how many of them reordered additional units. And what they found is that almost 90% of companies given samples reordered the product, which finally showed there was a demand, and the rest is history, and post-its are everywhere. So it's an amazing success story, but what most forget is that it took more than 10 years for the product to finally make it. And of course, what counts here is perseverance. So what's the difference between those who are successful and those who are failures? Most see failure as an ending, an irreversible mistake, a painful result that blocks the way to reaching their goal and happiness. The critical difference between successful and unsuccessful people, however, is that the former, or successful people, views failures as a powerful tool, a key that opens the door to success. In other words, failures are intrinsic to success as they are the guideposts that point the way to achieve success. So failure is not the opposite of success, it is part of success. Success, as we've seen through the examples that we just went through, takes willpower, intelligence, determination, and grit. But more than anything else, it requires failure. Failure is an opportunity to reassess your relationship to the true key to success that so many people fear. Now, of course, we have this knowledge of fear of failure, and a lot of us have to go through this. Now, physiologically, once we go into fear, that puts our body into a fight or flight mode, and that automatically stops cell growth, stops the immune system, stops the higher brain functions. Basically, everything in the body freezes, and you're waiting to see whether you need to fight or get the heck away from there. So when we are afraid to fail, when we're afraid to plunge and maybe produce success, we actually are limiting our chances for success because we're freezing ourselves. We are stopping ourselves before we even give ourselves a chance. Now, Bill Gates was quoted as saying, "Failure is a great teacher. Everyone fails, but successful people react differently to failure than unsuccessful people. Successful people don't like to fail, but they are not devastated or paralyzed by failure. They use failure as a tool to learn what they did wrong. After they fall off the horse, they pick themselves up, dust themselves off, and get back on the horse and try again. Unsuccessful people are paralyzed by failure and are afraid to try again because they are afraid of failing again." And of course, this fear of failing again stops them dead in their tracks and they cannot succeed. Now, what does the knowledge book say about fear? On page 5859, quote, "As we always say and shall repeat again, fear is a factor that cuts down your frequencies," end quote. On page 193, "Fears and unhappiness are the impediments on your way." And page 459, positive thought always attracts a positive and negative thought the negative. So basically, in that first quote, as we always say and shall repeat again, fear is a factor that cuts down your frequencies. It is your frequencies that allow you to go out there and find your answers, to get ideas. So if you're in fear and your frequencies are cut down, your imagination power is gone, your creative power is gone, your ability to think through a problem and find a solution is gone. Therefore, if you are afraid, you will never be able to find an answer because you are stopping the means by which you can get an answer. And if you have fear, which means you're frozen, and if you are unhappy, that means you are down in the dumps, that also exacerbates the fear because you are basically paralyzing yourself even further by not being in a positive mode to be able to attract the positive result to you. And again, positive thought always attracts a positive and negative thought the negative. If you know that you will succeed, if you keep going no matter what, knowing that you will find an answer and you will find what it is that you're missing at that point and succeed, then that is what you will do. You will succeed. However, if you always think that you're going to be failing, you're actually creating that failure. You're creating that failure because you're not even trying. You're not even attempting to go at it, okay? So if you think it's going to be positive, it's going to be positive. If you think it's going to be negative, it definitely will be negative. And you will. This, I think, can be seen as a self-fulfilling prophecy, okay? So we shouldn't be afraid to fail. And we, of course, have failed many times, but we may not remember. Before we actually learned how to walk, how many times did he fall down? How many times were we able to hit the ball the first time that we swung a bat? Heavy hitters, the ones who hit the most home runs, are also the ones who strike out a lot. Were you able to skate or jump rope the first time you tried? R.H. Macy failed 7 times before his store in New York actually caught on. 3M Corporation, one of the most successful companies in the world, was a dismal failure during its first 10 years. English novelist John Creasy got 753 rejection slips before he published 564 books. Babe Ruth struck out 1,330 times, but he also hit 714 home runs. So he, in terms of numbers, he struck out twice as much as he actually hit a home run. Okay. So let's go back to the example of actually learning to walk. Which, of course, if you don't walk, you fall and you get scraped knees, bumped elbows, painful butts, and all kinds of stuff. Okay. Now, how do we actually walk? Our body moves by the brain coordinating multiple sets of opposing muscles. So as far as our head is concerned, you've got muscles at the front of the neck and muscles at the back of the neck that control the head going forward or backwards. You've also got muscles at the side of the neck, both sides of the neck, that controls the head going from side to side. We also have muscles that allow our head to be twisted from side to side. Okay. So what the brain does is at first, it coordinates muscles of the neck to balance the head. And as we all know, or anyone who has dealt with children or grandchildren or cousins or nieces or nephews, when you're holding a baby, you have to support the head because the baby initially is not able to hold that head up. It is not strong enough, doesn't learn how to coordinate those muscles of the neck to be able to hold the head in an upright position. So we have to hold that head in order to help the baby. And eventually, once the baby has learned to balance the head on the neck, then they're able to balance that head and torso. And then they learn to balance the head and torso on top of the hips. And this is what happens when the baby actually is sitting. And eventually, it learns to coordinate balancing the entire body on two legs, when the child actually starts to stand initially by itself and gain balance on itself, and then starts to walk. Now, each phase of learning, whether it's balancing just the head itself or the torso and the head or the torso and the head on the hips or the entire head and torso on legs, is the base, is the foundation for the next step. So unless you, the baby learned how to balance its head, it will never be able to sit. It will never be able to stand because that has to come first. And walking itself is actually controlled falling. So at each step, we propel ourselves forward with one leg while the other leg is moved to the front to stop our fall. Initially, at each step, the brain sends signals to propel and then to catch ourselves not to fall. At each fall, and each time we fail to walk, the brain adjusts the impulses based on the results obtained and tries another set of signals until it is successful in keeping the body from falling. So we're actually controlling falling at every step we take. And at every fall, literal fall, the brain keeps a track record that at a certain pace, 1 second interval between propelling and stopping our fall, this result was obtained. Okay? Now, in learning how to walk, the brain is actually using what the knowledge book calls analysis and synthesis. And this is how it works. A theory is first formed, so the brain says it takes a second, it estimates that it will take a second from the time one leg propels the body forward to initiate the other leg to catch the fall. And then the brain takes action. One leg propels the body forward and the other leg is moved forward a second later to stop the fall. And the third step is the results of the action are analyzed and appropriate steps are taken to either keep going the way it is or adjust the span of time in between propelling and stopping the fall to make sure that the person is upright, is able to ambulate. Now, in case of a failure, then the brain starts to adjust the timing at each fall until it can coordinate both legs to successfully walk at a slow pace. Of course, the process is repeated again to learn how to run, to skip, to jump, to ride a bike, to ski, and etc. So what the brain is doing is using failure to know that that interval, that time interval between one step and the next time the foot comes forward, it is using that failure to know what to do next. So in this case, falling, scraping knee, falling on your backside, whatever it is, that fall is critical in order for us to be able to walk, to run, to skip, to do anything. Now, physical learning. We learn to draw, to paint, to read, to write, to drive, to cook, etc. by multiple repetitions of actions until we arrive at a result that we aim for. In order to become an expert at anything, 10,000 hours must be spent at practicing that skill. So 10,000 hours, this is not, you know, sit down for an hour and you're able to do whatever it is to do. So when you think about pitchers, when you think about hitters in a baseball team, when you think about ballerinas, and when you think about ballet masters, and that what they're able to do in terms of the dancing that they can do and the kinds of pictures that can form on stage. Anyone who plays a musical instrument like a violin or any instrument basically at a very high level of skill must have spent at least 10,000 hours practicing that skill. I knew a gentleman once, I was in grammar school at the time. He was a concert pianist. He spent 8 hours a day, every day, practicing that piano. And there's also another gentleman who was a pianist. And again, he already was an accomplished pianist. He already was able to interpret music beautifully and play beautifully. But in order to prepare for a concert, he would spend at least 4 hours every day or 8 hours every day to practice, even though he already had the skill in his hands and the skill and the hands moved just by his thinking. So 10,000 hours. And the failures or incompetence while attaining a skill are the stepping stones on our path to learning that skill. At each step, adjustments are made to gradually become more and more proficient. Now, how about us and evolution? How about us and consciousness evolution? So while physical skills are learned through repetitions, consciousness and evolution progress are attained through experiences. Just like we learn to walk or gain some physical skill, Growth in consciousness and evolution is a gradual, step-by-step journey where our failures become both motivators and guideposts. As the Knowledge Book explains, we start our life journey at zero frequency and third world dimension. At every incarnation, we connect with the sacred texts and gradually integrate with the qualities required in order to graduate to the next consciousness evolution level. Once we have fully integrated with the formal education and training through the sacred text, we finally arrive ready to enter the Knowledge Book. And the Knowledge Book actually is a guidebook for evolutionary success. In every failure exists a clue, a key, a guidepost that offers us an opportunity for growth and success. The Knowledge Book, by the truth, energies, and frequencies it delivers through the light photon cyclone technique, gradually takes us through the needed experiences to gain infinite love, infinite patience, and infinite tolerance. We are gradually guided to put fear, doubt, hesitation, and emotions and negativity behind and confidently go through the evolution leading to our acceptance into the advanced dimensions. Okay, so now I think it is time for a short break. You have been listening to the Knowledge Book Radio with Marge Potasik, and to remind everyone that the U.S. Knowledge Book website is www.usa.theknowledgebook.net. Telephone numbers for questions or topics is 973-787-7035. Email address is mmjp99@gmail.com. And of course, Call to Friendship website is www.calltofriendship.org. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
To find answers to life's questions, you need to look within yourself. Dr. Glenna Rice brings your questionable conversations on Transformation Talk Radio each month. Tune in each month for insight into how you can live up to your full potential. Dr. Glenna is a physical therapist, certified Access Consciousness, and Access Body Class facilitator. How does it get any better than this? For more information on Dr. Glenna Rice and her work, visit glennarice.com.
Our angels and animals are always working for and around us. Darcy Pariso knew from an early age she felt this incredible presence that was confirmed for her in a Reiki Level 1 course. From then on, she has honed her skills and dedicated her talents to providing answers, inspiration, and tools for people to move past limiting blocks and past traumas to truly live a life of happiness. For more information about working with Darcy, visit darcypariso.com.
What is a brilliant culture, and how do we create them? Why are they important? Claudette Rowley has created a breakthrough five-step process to help you align your culture with your business strategy for exceptional results. Looking for a culture that drives organizational excellence? Listen to Cultural Brilliance Radio, the second and fourth Friday of each month at 10 a.m. Pacific and 1 p.m. Eastern on Transformation Talk Radio. To learn more or work with Claudette, visit culturalbrilliance.com.
Is traditional medicine not working for you? Do you still feel as if your health isn't 100%? Here at the Holistic Medical Center, Dr. Nushin Darvish and the qualified staff look through the dimensions of wellness and start a healing plan prioritized to your needs. Our physicians assess the whole you until complete health is achieved. Get the help you need by visiting drdarvish.com or call 425-451-0404.
Being human has its challenges. Our physical health falters, our spirits sag, our dreams don't immediately come to fruition. Welcome to the power of Maximum Medicine Radio. Join me, Doc Martin, in conversations that will blow your mind about healing. In our hit show, Doc Martin addresses the scientific with bridging to the mystical approaches to give you a new narrative about Maximum Medicine. In this live call-in show, we will journey into the extraordinary genius of the human body and talk about other beliefs that impact being your multidimensional self. We seek the seen and the unseen and explore the earthbound and the otherworldly, all with the purpose of calling forth the maximum you. To learn more about Doc Martin and Maximum Medicine, visit www.sharonmartinmd.com.
we're back on the Knowledge Book Radio with Marge Potasek on Transformation Talk Radio. A quick reminder, the Knowledge Book website is www.usa.theknowledgebook.net. World Brotherhood Union Turkish website is www.dkbdavidkiteboy-mevlana.org.tr. My contact info is 973-787-7035. Again, 973-787-7035. Email address is mmjp99@gmail.com. Again, marymaryjohnpeter99@gmail.com. And the Call to Friendship website is www.calltofriendship.org. Okay, please do email or text me or call me with any questions that arise from today's topics or from previous shows. And of course, any topics or questions for future shows are very welcome. Okay, so what we've been talking about today is failure as a key to success. What we've covered is that, number one, if you are a true failure, if you've never succeeded in anything, that means nobody will know about you because you've not haven't done anything that was earth-shattering, that people will know about you. The closest to a failure during life that are those individuals like Kafka, like Melville, like Mendel, are those people, and those only three out of maybe 50 or more people who became famous after they died, meaning they produced something during their lifetimes. And actually, there's a lot of artists that would fall into that category as well, because they were not in tune with whatever was acceptable by society, or society, put it another way, society was not yet ready for what they had to offer. It was only after their death that society grew, that society caught up to the ideas that were brought forth by those artists that had died, and therefore they were appreciated after their death and not before. We also went through the fact that if you look for famous failures in history or famous failures in the world, you get a list of people like Bill Gates, like Walt Disney, like the Beatles, because all of them basically initially failed in a major way. And not only did they fail once, they failed multiple times. And the biggest one that's an example of that is, of course, Edison, who tried 10,000 times to produce an incandescent bulb that could be commercially produced, that was efficient and, you know, usable. And his answer to the fact that people accused him of failing 10,000 times was that, well, no, he didn't fail 10,000 times. He actually found 10,000 ways in which not to produce a viable light bulb. So when he eventually got to the point of eliminating all the things that didn't work, he actually got to the point that did work and was very successful. And of course, now everything is lit up. Night sky, you have where before, once the sun went down, all you had was candles to or fireplaces to light anything up. And so basically people lived more in line with the lighting that came from the sun and maybe the moon. I remember that I was reading lots of books under the moonlight. So, but anyway, he changed all that. And we now have, when you come in, when you're flying on a plane at night, you're coming in and you're seeing all the lit up towns and cities as you're crossing borders, as you're crossing from one place to the other. So the one thing that we need to cover is the fact that fear and unhappiness actually stops us dead in our tracks. Fear literally freezes us. Fear literally stops our thinking process, stops our body from functioning properly, stops us from being able to maintain health. And if we're unhappy, if we're depressed, that we will not be able to function, because we are always thinking that everything is bad, everything doesn't work, nothing works for me, everything, I'm no good. So we basically produce a litany that does not allow us to succeed. However, These are the true failures, the ones who can't go past the fact that they're afraid. They can't go past the fact that they will not take that initial step. They will not take that initial dip into the water. I remember learning how to ski. At first, it was really a scary experience. You're going down the mountain on two sticks, and it is a scary experience. However, once you learn how to handle, and you learn how to handle the skis and how to traverse the mountain step by step, and you learn how to turn, you learn how to turn the other way, you learn how to stop, you learn how to do everything, and in the end, it became joy and fun, because it took me longer to get up the mountain on a, you know, the chairlift than it took me to get down the mountain. So initially things are difficult and things are not that easy. However, if you do persevere and if you do practice, then you do are able to go forward. And each of the people who were successful, the key in their success was that the failure, they used the failure. They used the failure as a guidepost. In every failure, there is a key. In every failure, there is something that it tells you that you need to adjust something somewhere along the line. You need to adjust something. So, and again, the critical difference between successful and unsuccessful people is that successful people view failures as a powerful tool, as a key that opens the door to success. So failures are basically intrinsic to success. You cannot have success without having a failure. And those failures are actually the guideposts. They're the adjusting mechanism that allows us to learn, that allows us to progress. So this goes for anything that we're learning physically, either walking or running or bicycling or learning ballet or learning basketball or learning football or whatever it is that we're trying to accomplish. It takes us time, it takes willpower, it takes intelligence, and it takes determination. Perseverance is the most important factor. You do not quit, you do not stop, you just keep going forward. And each step, no matter what obstacle that comes in our way, whatever what stops us, we use that which stops us as a stepping stool. The bigger the problem, the easier the solution will be according to the knowledge book, and the bigger the progress that we make. So what happens? Our main goal in this lifetime, for most of us, is actually to be able to get out of the world dimension and actually wind up at the advanced dimensions. Our goal in this lifetime, for those who have actually completed the integration with the sacred texts, and each one of the sacred texts has come to us to teach a specific lesson. When we look at and read the knowledge book, each one of those sacred texts are in that knowledge book. The essence of those sacred texts, whether it's the philosophies of the Far East, whether it's the Old Testament, whether it's the Psalms of David, or the New Testament, or the Quran, whatever those texts contained, the essence of them is contained in the knowledge book. And knowledge book itself says, you know, this is not news. This is something we've given to you more than once. However, we haven't gotten it yet. We haven't learned yet. We haven't changed our behavior in such a way that they have to tell us once again, patience, tolerance, love, acceptance, patience, tolerance, love, acceptance, benevolence. All those traits and qualities that those sacred texts were telling us to practice, the knowledge book is also telling us to practice. It is no different. The message is the same. It's just we don't get it yet. So how do we evolve? What do we do? How is learning how to walk the same or different as progressing on the evolutionary path? Well, we're learning how to walk. We're learning how to play an instrument on a physical level through mistakes, through failures, through incompetencies. However, eventually, we do learn how to do that skill, and we are proficient at it or become an expert at it, depending how much time and you dedicate to it. However, consciousness and evolution is done through experiences. What experiences, you may ask? Well, it's waiting in line when your line is standing still and everybody else's line is moving. Learning patience. It is you keeping your mouth shut when somebody is yelling at you and accusing you of something that you haven't done and you haven't heard about. It is you being patient. It is you being kind, despite the fact that person is accusing you of things that you've never done, that despite the fact that people have stabbed you in the back and tried to get around you and get you out of your current status in your company. So every experience, whether it is, you know, a kid fighting with another kid and you being the parent, or all those experiences that we go through, they are both learning experiences and examinations. So we are here for two things: to evolve in consciousness, evolve on our evolutionary level, meaning getting closer and closer to our initial state, our initial essence, which is perfect, which is the spiritual totality. And we are going through the experiences in this life, and every one of our lives is perfectly designed to actually allow us to succeed in that. We come completely prepared with everything that we need, all the brain power that we need, all the physical characteristics that we need for us to be able to actually succeed in this lifetime. We have no excuse for failure. The only reason why we fail is because we don't understand what is going on. And instead of being patient, we hit back. Instead of being helpful, we, you know, steal. Instead of telling the truth no matter what, or keeping our mouths shut when it's time to keep our mouths shut, we keep talking and we keep backbiting. We keep doing things that we're not supposed to be doing. So we're going the opposite of acceptance, tolerance, love, and being humble. So all these good things that were taught by all the previous sacred texts, the knowledge book is telling us as well. However, it also gives us additional information. It gives us where we've been, how we got here, what it is that we need to do to get further along in our evolutionary journey, how to use every one of our experiences as a motivator, as a way to get us to where we need to be, so that eventually we will get to the point of having learn our lessons. And specifically, if we make a mistake, then it is our job to know what that mistake was. Because what happens, unless we get it right, we get to repeat it over and over again. So if we're finding ourselves in the same situation over and over, if we're finding ourselves repeating the same thing every day or every month, that means somewhere along the line, we still have not found the key that that situation is trying to give us, that guidepost that is trying to tell us which direction to go. We haven't found it yet. And once we found it, those situations disappear, and no other situations like that appear ever again. This is how we get through our karma. This is how we get through our lives, and this is how we learn from our experiences. So whether the experiences are what we call positive experiences, or whether our experiences what we call negative experiences, somebody yelling at us, somebody backstabbing us, somebody doing something harm to us. Once we get to the point where we see our enemies as our greatest friends, that's when we have actually gotten to the point where we need to be. Because at that point, when we see everything that has happened to us as a way of getting to infinite patience, infinite tolerance, and infinite love, we have succeeded. So it is almost time to finish. As always, the time goes by really, really fast. I just wanted to mention that please look at the website for the knowledge book for Focal Point on a Saturday. And there are also trips to Turkey that go on 3 times a year. You're more than welcome to come. And actually, it is something to see and experience. We all still are offering the 3 chapters from the knowledge book sent to you for free. And please do join me every Tuesday at 4 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. Pacific time on the Knowledge Book Ready with Marge Potasik. And please do send topics, questions. We will cover that at another time. To me at 973-787-7035 or mmjp99@gmail.com, marymaryjohnpeter99@gmail.com. Of course, our verdict has been handed to us. We are the ones who are holding not only our own destiny, but the universe's destiny in our hands. The rope is in our hands. Now we will either hang ourselves or save ourselves. And As the knowledge book states, and Mrs. Chirac frequently reminds us, you are the ones who will save the world. Please do contact me. We will see you next week. Enjoy.
You've been listening to Knowledge Book Radio with Marge Potasek. Marge was led to the Knowledge Book, a gift to humanity, and its time of transition to the Golden Age that provided the truth and energies and frequencies. Now, she shares information from and answers questions about the Knowledge Book with you each Tuesday at 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. For more information, visit Marge at usa.theknowledgebook.net.